This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Robert Morris delivers the teaching entitled The Principle of First. This is the first message in the series, Blessed Life. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
You have picked a great weekend to be here at 12 Stone because we're wrapping up our previous series from this day forward. And we've come off this encouraging of your dating life, transforming of your marriage. And about the only thing we really didn't discuss that can stress out a relationship is finances. And this is going to be kind of a bonus to where we've left off. And the best advice I ever got when it came to money. In fact, I can just jot it down for you. It's real simple. Here it is. In fact, you might want to jot it down as your first notes for the day. Spend less than you what? There you go. Spend less than you make. That is probably the single best advice I ever got when it came to money. So now all you have to do is apply that and everything works, right? And of course, if it were that easy, everything would be awesome. And it's never that easy. In fact, most of us discovered that finances is quite complicated in our lives. God says it can not only mess up your marriage, it can mess up your life, can mess up your eternity. Because the real question is going to come down to firsts. What is first in the arena of money in your life? And when Marcia and I got married, we had to figure out who or what is first. For example, when we do our little budgeting, am I going to be first? And I'm good at being first. So I like to be first. I think that'd be awesome. Let me be first on the whole list of who gets care. Or is it going to be my spouse? Is it going to be Marcia? Is she going to be first? Or is it going to be our mortgage? Is that going to be first? Or are we going to do the responsible kind of savings thing? Is that going to be first? Or is it going to be fun? Is it going to be fun? In the course of all relationships, you got to figure out the money thing. What's going to be first? And that's why I say you picked a great weekend to be here at 12 Stone. Because today we're going to talk about first. In fact, we're going to bring back one of the most defining seasons in 12 Stone in the last 12 months. 1 year ago this month, we brought my friend in, Robert Morris. He delivered a teaching that was perhaps more talked about than anything I've ever taught here. In fact, by the time we got to the pioneer season launching out last August, we settled this as elders and we were praying through kind of what God would be doing through this year. And we just didn't want what we knew would be new people coming to 12 Stone and the 5 campus launch and the new people would come and be hanging around as a result of that. We didn't want you to miss out on how uniquely and profoundly God was teaching us freshly about this thing called first. And so though we've never ever done that before, we're bringing Robert Morris back in this teaching. Now, if you're new, this is going to be profound for you. And if you weren't here, then you didn't pick up the book. And I want you to know we'll make his book available to you, The Blessed Life. And I'll tell you how at the close of the service. But we're all going to get a moment to step back in. And sometimes, I mean, I've listened to Robert teach this 10, 12 times. And what I've discovered, it's a lot like Disney. You just can't take it all in one setting. And in this, God resets how you make decisions about money and first. It's really quite insightful. So here across the campuses, grab your teaching notes. They're right there in the back of your bulletin. Get your Bibles out. Get your pens. Let's jump in as God instructs us on this principle of first.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very, very glad to be here. I'm honored to be here. I want to greet all the campuses of 12 Stone. I've just fallen in love with Pastor Kevin, and we're just, I'm very, very honored to be here. I want you to know that. My wife and I, so that you know just a little bit about us, we've been married this year, will be 34 years. And I know what you're thinking, and yes, we got married when we were 10. So we have three grown and married children. Now, if you have grown and married children, you know why I add those two words, and married. Let me tell you why if you don't understand. Because our children are grown and married, what that means is that Debbie and I are now wealthy. That's what that means. So we love our kids. Matter of fact, I brought a picture of our children and our family. This is our family here. My two sons and two daughters-in-law, my son-in-law and daughter. If you notice, my son-in-law is different from the rest of us. He's taller. This is my beautiful family. We have four grandchildren, as you can see. And I will just tell you this, if you don't know this, grandchildren are better than children. They are much better than children. And grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your children. So if you just hang on, it gets better, all right? All right, we're in a series called The Blessed Life. Pastor Kevin started the series last weekend, and I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. And when I say turn in your Bible, but let me bring it up to modern day too. I could say click to Exodus 13. If you read your Bible on a device, that's fine as long as you read your Bible. This message that I want to bring you is called The Principle of First. This is probably the most important principle in the Christian walk that God's ever shown me. Because when God's first, everything in your life will come into order. Everything. But when God's not first, everything's out of order. Now, I'm not saying you don't have any more problems. I'm just simply saying that everything comes in order when God's first, and everything is out of order when God's not first. So let me show you this scripture, and then we'll talk about it some. Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both a man and beast, it is mine.'" Now, those are very emphatic words in the Hebrew language. It is mine. It belongs to me. The firstborn belongs to me. I'm going to show you in this message a few other things that belong to God, and it's very important to understand that. Then look down at verse 12, Exodus 13, verse 12. "You shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck." I just want you to notice, you'll lose it anyway. If it doesn't go to God, you're going to lose it anyway. "And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." Now, let me tell you what we just read, and I have three points. If you're taking notes, I'd like for you to write these down. If you're not taking notes, write these down, all right? Number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's what we just read, and we're going to explain it and talk about it, but the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Okay, here's what he's saying, and he uses animals that are examples of clean and unclean animals. He uses a donkey and a lamb. They're representative of an unclean animal, the donkey, and clean animal, the lamb. Here's what he says. If your firstborn is a clean animal, you have to sacrifice it. If you have a clean animal that has a firstborn, it must be sacrificed. If it's an unclean animal, it must be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean. Now, I want to say that one more time because I know we think, man, this was written 4,000 years ago. What does this have to do with me? But everything in this book relates to Jesus Christ. Everything in this book will point to Jesus. So here's what he says again. If your firstborn is from a clean animal, it must be sacrificed. If it's from an unclean animal, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean. Okay, What does that mean? Here's what I think that means. To us today, I want you to think about this. Were you and I, and you can answer me out loud, all the campuses, were you and I born clean or unclean? Unclean. We were born in sin, right? We were born unclean. Okay. Was Jesus born unclean or clean?
Clean.
Clean. Listen, the clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. That's what we just read. Okay, this is why this is in some ways, it hurts my heart when people speak negatively about tithing. Because I'm going to say something to you that maybe you've never thought of. Jesus is God's tithe. See, we give the tithe first. Before we know what's coming. He said, you give me the first one. He didn't say, wait until your sheep has 10 and then give me one of them, the one you don't like, the one that gets in your garden. He didn't say that. He said, give me the first one before you have 9 more. Give me the first one and the rest are redeemed. The rest are blessed. That's what tithing is. We give the tithe first before we pay the bills. And the rest is blessed. That is actually what brings the blessing on our life. It's that we give it in faith. You don't pay all your bills and then tithe because that's not faith. You give the first one. Okay, this is the reason I say that Jesus is God's tithe, because God didn't wait to see if we would clean up to give Jesus. God gave Jesus while we were yet sinners. He demonstrated his love toward us. God gave Jesus, and this is the way Romans actually says it, in hope. And it's actually the same word that we translate faith. In faith that we would believe, that we would receive him. So Jesus is God's tithe. And when we do this, this is what he's talking about. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. And here's what he says. And if you don't do this, you have to break its neck. You're going to lose it anyway. What so many people don't realize is if they don't tithe, it's still going out of your account. You're going to lose it anyway because it belongs to the Lord. So the first portion is the redemptive portion. The first portion redeems the rest. So the first portion, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Okay, here's point two. The first fruits must be offered. The first fruit must be offered. Let me just read you. Just stay there in Exodus 13, but let me read you a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. I just want to read that again. The first of the first fruits of your land, it always has to be first, you shall bring, I want you to notice the word bring, and where do you bring them? Into the house of the Lord your God. The tithe comes into the house of God. It's the first 10%. It doesn't go to a missionary. It doesn't go to a ministry, a Christian ministry, even though I believe in giving to those Christian ministries, missionaries, all that. But the tithe, the first 10%, comes into the house of the Lord. And you don't designate your tithe. You don't say, I want 5% here and 3% here and 2%. The reason you can't designate it is because it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. You're returning it to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice the word bring. God never uses the word give when he talks about tithing. He always uses the word bring because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it into the house of the Lord. And you can bring it or you can steal it. When you study scripture about the tithe, you have two choices. And tithing is all through the Bible. It is a principle that's all through the Bible. Yes, it was under the law, but it was way before the law. Actually, some say 400 years. They go back to Abraham and Jacob. It was 2,500 years before the law, and I'll show that to you in just a moment. And it goes all the way through. In the New Testament, Jesus himself said, this is in red, Matthew 23:23, you ought to tithe. You ought to tithe. Well, that's enough for me. If the one that saved me in a motel room says you ought to tithe, then you ought to tithe. So it's all through scripture. And we bring the house, so we bring it into the house of the Lord. Again, you have two choices with the tithe. You either bring it to the house of the Lord, or if you keep it in your account, you steal it. Now I know this is the first time I've ever spoken here. Please don't get offended at me, because those are not my words. Those are God's words. He's the one that says, you're robbing me. And in Joshua 7, they have stolen from me. They've taken what is consecrated to the house of the Lord. They stole it. When my daughter was dating Ethan, the man she married, they were standing around talking in a group after a young adult service at our church, and they were talking about how difficult it might be to date my daughter, you know, the pastor's daughter. And one of them kind of jokingly said to my daughter, you know, your dad is so strong on the tithe, he probably checks the tithing records of the guys that want to date you. And my daughter said, he does. And I did. Let me ask you a very simple question, though. Why would I give my daughter to a thief? Or I could take it, just lighten it up a little bit for you, but why would I give my daughter to a man that can't even handle money? I mean, if he can't handle money, he definitely can't handle my daughter, because she is a handful. So it's all through Scripture. Remember when they went into the Promised Land, you remember what the Lord told them to do? Bring all of the first fruits into the house of the Lord. Bring all, here's the way he said it, bring all of the silver and gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord. Now, why would he say bring all instead of 10% in this instance? Because Jericho was the first city. Here's what he's saying. You give me the first one, the rest are blessed. The rest are redeemed. And when they kept some of it, they lost the next one, until they returned it to the Lord. See, we don't give, we return the tithe to the Lord. When I was in college, one of the students asked, why did God accept Abel's offering and he didn't accept Cain's offering? And the professor, I'm very proud of him now when I think back, he said, you know, I really don't know. But when you understand the principle of the firstborn and first fruits, it's easy. Let me read it to you and watch how easy it is to understand why God accepted Abel's and he didn't accept Cain's offering. Genesis 4, 3 through 5 says, and in the process of time, now those words are very, very important. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Notice it does not say first fruit. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect or receive Cain and his offering. You see it? It's simple. Abel, who's a rancher, brings the firstborn. Cain, who's a farmer, does not bring first fruits. In the process of time, he brought an offering to the Lord. Let me say that another way. He gave what he wanted when he wanted. And God said, I'm not accepting that. And I'll tell you why God didn't do it. It's not just that God didn't do it. It's that God couldn't do it. There are some things God can't do. He can never act outside of his character. He can't. Let me give you some examples. God can't change. This is called the immutability of God. He can't change. The reason he can't change is because if he could change, he could get better. And he can't get better because he's perfect. So he can never change. Another thing God can't do, this will kind of shock you, he can't think the way we think. Let me clarify that. God can't think the way we think. You want to know why? Because we think to figure things out. God's not trying to figure anything out. He doesn't think the way we think. Let me say it another way. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God has never said, you know what I just thought of? I just thought of something I never thought of before. He's never said that. This is called the omniscience of God, from the words omni and science, all knowledge. God has all knowledge, and here's another thing, if it'll blow your mind, he knows everything at the same time. At the same time. So there are some things he can't do. And you know, even a moment ago when I said God can't think the way we think, you might have even remembered a scripture and thought, oh, wait a minute, I know a scripture. Well, that scripture actually proves it. Here's what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you think. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So let me tell you one other thing God can't do. He can never be second. Never. This is called the preeminence of God. God is higher than all, before all, first of all, above all. Now, I will say this. He might be second in your life, but that doesn't mean he's second. He's never second. He's first. So what that means is he can't accept an offering that's not first, because he's first. He won't do it. He said it all through Scripture. He says it several times. You bring me the lame and the blind and the crippled, I'm not going to accept that. I'd accept the firstborn and first fruits. Okay, and here's the third thing. The tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Why? Because it belongs to the Lord. Firstborn belongs to God. First fruits belong to God. The tithe belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. This is very similar in the Hebrew language, belongs to the Lord. Same phrase. It is holy, set apart to the Lord. It belongs to God. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you own a landscape company. And I say, hey, I'd like some trees and some plants and some bushes, you know, at my house. And so you come over and you say, okay, this is how much my materials will be. This is how much my labor will be. These are all my expenses. My profit will be $1,000. Okay, that's what my profit will be, $1,000. And so you say, is that agreeable? And I say, yes, that's agreeable. So you come and you do the job, and then you bring me the bill. You say, okay, here's my labor, here's my materials, here are all my expenses, and then here's my total bill. And so I pay all of that, and then I decide to pay you your profit in cash. And so I give you 10 $100 bills, all right? $1,000, 10 $100 bills. So you have 10 $100 bills in your hand. Now, let me say something for just a moment, all right? I know this is a math illustration, and half of you like this illustration, and half of you don't. I understand that, okay? It won't last long, I promise you. Math is easy for me. My father is a mathematical genius. He literally is. And I'm not a genius, but numbers add up in my mind without me trying to get them to. They just add up. We were in a business meeting one time. We were talking about this much for this and this much for AVL and this much for construction, this much for architect and all. And then when someone said, how much is that? I said, that's $72,800,000 because it just happens. I don't try to get it to. It just happens. Debbie and I were buying something a while back. It was $7.99. And she said, I'll have to figure the tax on the calculator because the cash register is broken. And I said, it's 66 cents. And she looked at me for a moment, and then she did this, and then she said, it's 66 cents. I thought, yeah, I know, but I didn't say it. I just said, okay. So we get out in the car, and Debbie said to me, how do you do that? And I thought she was actually asking me, you know, how do you do that? I thought she wanted to know. So I explained it to her. I said, well, the tax rate's 8.25, 799 is close to 8. 8 times 8 is 64. A quarter of 8 is 2. 64 plus 2 is 66. I said, that should happen, sugar, in less than a second in your mind. She said, it doesn't. She said, but I do know what 25% off means. So I thought she was talking math, you know, just I'm clueless, you know. So I said to her, okay, well, if you're buying stuff for $100 and it's 25% off, what does that mean? She said, it means it's a good deal. And then she said, and if it's 50% off, it's free. I said, what? Where did you get that? She said, 50% off is the same as buy one, get one free. So it's free. And if it's 75% off, you're making money. Which explains some difficulties we've had in our checkbook over the years. But anyway, so math is easy for me, okay? So if you don't like math, just stay with me. It's a very easy illustration, okay? You have 10 $100 bills in your hand, and a tithe is 10%, okay? So two questions. First question, how much is the tithe? You have $1,000, how much is the tithe? $100. It's one of the 10, right? Okay, here's the second question. Which one is it? Yeah, you're saying that because you're listening to this message, and that's great. But how do you know which one's the first? Okay, let me tell you how you know. It's the first one to leave your hand. That's the first one. Because if you go home and say, I'm going to set aside some for the house, some for the car, some for groceries, and God hears your part. No, that's not God's part. You gave the first part to the mortgage company. And the mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. Hear this, let me set aside this, and God hears your part, here's the leftover. And sometimes we do this and this and this, and we say, oh God, there's not enough left over for you. Well, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but he wouldn't receive it anyway. Our God does not receive leftovers. He receives the first and the best that we have. And here's what we do. When we say, God, here's your part, a supernatural blessing comes on our finances. And the nine go farther with God's blessing than the 10 without God's blessing. Hey, here's what God said. Bring the tithes. He, again, he used the word bring in the storehouse. And see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you, there will not be room enough to receive it. And then he says, and it's kind of like if you call right now, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He doesn't even say for the kingdom's sake. He says for your sake. Can you imagine God rebuking the devil for you? That's spiritual warfare. That's pretty good. See, I've actually told our whole church, I've told our whole church on many occasions, you tithe for 1 year, and if you are not fully satisfied at the end of that year, I will give you your money back. I've told our whole church that. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you, you tithe for 1 year, if you're not fully satisfied at the end of that year, Pastor Kevin will give you your money back. You can correct that later if you want to, all right? Okay, it's first. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not legalistic about this. I'm not legalistic. God is not legalistic. He is not a legalistic God. He gave the law for two reasons. One, to show the moral standards of God. If you want to know not to covet, that's what Paul says, then the only way you know that is to read the law. But the main reason he gave the law, this is what also Paul says, is to frustrate us to bring us to Christ. If you don't think the law is frustrating, read Leviticus. There's a whole chapter on what to do if you get a scab. Here's what God wanted. He wanted us to come and say, I can't do this. Here's what he says. That's great. My son already did it. It's great. So God is not a legalistic God. So here's what I do, and I want you to understand I'm not legalistic about it, but I started this years ago. Well, I get paid on the 15th and the 30th. Now, years ago, I started doing it with a check because now I do banking online. But right now, on the 15th and the 30th, when I get paid, while I'm having my quiet time, that morning, I go online and I send the tithe to the church. You mean it's the first that leaves my account every month, twice a month. Used to, again, when I'd write checks, I would write the tithe check, settle over to the side, and then pay the rest of the bills. But I always did that first because Scripture talks about that we give it first. We bring it to the house of God first, okay? Now, I'm not legalistic about it. What happens if on the 15th or 30th, I have an early morning meeting, I don't have my quiet time that morning, I rush out, I get meetings all day, I come home, I think, oh, 15th, got paid. So I go in to do it, and I notice that Debbie went to the grocery store that day. Okay, I don't say, oh, that's great, sugar. We're cursed. For the next 2 weeks now, because you went to the grocery store, we're cursed. Okay, I'm not legalistic about it. And listen, God's not legalistic either. It's in your heart. Because I've had people say, Pastor, I've been tithing for years, but I didn't know to do it first. That's okay. God knows your heart. But now you know. And to him who knows to do good and does it not, it is sin. It's very important for us to understand this. Now, go back to Exodus 13, and we ended with verse 13 a moment ago. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? In other words, why are you killing the firstborn? You remember that? We talked about that. We started there. That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Okay. Here's what he says. He said, one day your son's going to get old enough to ask you why you're doing this. And when he does, here's what I want you to tell him. I think about this too. I've thought about it in my mind how it might happen. The son, he's real young. He comes running into the house. He says, Daddy, Daddy, the sheep is having a lamb, and it's her first one. And so they all get up, and they run out to the barn, but the dad grabs a butcher knife on the way. They get out to the barn. The whole family stand around. They go, oh, it's the miracle of life. Oh, and it's precious. Oh, look, he's standing up. And then the dad walks over, grabs the lamb by the back feet, picks it up, cuts its throat. And the little boy's watching this. So you know what he's thinking, don't you? He's thinking, don't mess with that. I mean, I don't know what that lamb did, but I'm never going to do that. But then the son gets older, and then one day the dad comes in from the field. The son is sitting there. He's got some books out in front of him, and he says, Dad, sit down, Dad. Sit down just a minute. Dad, I've been going over the books for last year, and you know, Dad, you might not even know you do this. You know, we all have blind spots, you know. But every time that one of our animals has a firstborn, how shall I say this? You kill it. And Dad, you killed 73 animals last year. And Dad, we're in the ranching business. And this is cutting into our profits. And he said, when your son asks you in time to come why you do this, you tell him, son, there's something about our family that you don't know. We weren't always in the ranching business. We didn't have animals. We didn't have land. Son, we used to be slaves. We were in bondage. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered us. Therefore, we gladly give to God the firstborn. Okay. 4,000 years ago, this was written. It happened to me. I'm paying the tithe. I'm paying my bills, I should say, and I write the tithe check out, settle over to the side, and I'm paying the bills. And my son comes in, and he's old enough now to read and write and, you know, get numbers, and he has a real mathematical mind like I do. He comes in, and he sees this check, and he sees how large it is. Think about how large that'd be to a little boy. And he said, Dad, why are you giving so much money to the church? And I remember the scripture. And I actually took him and I set him on my lap. And I said, son, I need to tell you something about your daddy that you don't know. Your daddy wasn't always a Christian. And your daddy used to be a very, very bad man. Your daddy was in bondage. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered your daddy. Therefore, I gladly give to God the first of all of our income. Absolutely. I gladly do this, son, because I had nothing. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just take a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me? Every person. Just take a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I know that this is a struggle for many people. Many people say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. I wish I could, but I can't afford to tithe. I just want to say something to you very lovingly. You will never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Because tithing is what removes the curse. God's not cursing you. We live in a cursed world. And when we tithe, we bring our finances out from under the curse. Our finances are redeemed. So I want to encourage you, do whatever it takes to return to God what belongs to Him and watch what God does.
So, wow. Just wow. You know why we would bring that back. So what stands out to you? What does God capture your heart and your imagination with when you hear Robert speak out of the subject of first? Because that's what stands out to me, that God is first, and that He never is second, and He never has been. And so you settle in your soul. What does it mean for God to be first? I also appreciate that Robert Morris doesn't lean into a teaching that kind of reduces blessed life kind of stuff to mere materialism. Doesn't feed into just us being materialistic. This isn't see the $1,000 and God gives you $10,000. That's not even where he went. This is really an honoring of God who is first as first. And every one of us is going to decide before God, what do you do with the question of first in your life? I watched my mom navigate this in my kind of middle school, high school years when she was a single mom and began to honor God with first fruits. It never turned her into great wealth, if you will, financially, but God always took care of her and provided for her. And Marcia and I eventually get married and had to make the decision in our lives. And so before you, what do you do with the question of first? Now, I know Robert was having just a little bit of fun there when he said, I tell everybody at my church, you go honor God with first fruits for the rest of this year, and if you come to the end of the year and that seems to have been a mistake, let us know. We'll write the check back. And so he's already said it for us. So the answer is yes, we would. In fact, from year to year, we take one moment and we have this conversation across all of 12 Stone, and that's in front of you. So grab your bulletin. In fact, you were looking right there at your teaching notes. And on the right-hand side, if this is helpful to you, then I would encourage you to this because this is just our way to try and assist you. Because sometimes it helps for you to do more than have a moment of good intention. Taking action becomes a significant marking and transforming moment. So across the campuses, whether you choose to participate or not, on the far right-hand side, as you're facing the bulletin, there's a detachable section that says practice the principle of first. Would you just, everybody has to do it at the same time. So whether you participate or not, nobody feels awkward. You just go ahead and detach that section, okay? It's on the right-hand side. And that way it just sits right there in front of you. And it's practice the principle of first. And it just confirms, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, honor God first. It middle paragraph there says, returning the tithe first, 10% frees God to bless. Take note that God invites us to test him. So test the Lord. And if you do that, the remainder of 2015, if you honor God with what is your tithe, the first 10%, then of course you just go on to say, if you come to the end of the year and you say, you know what, that was a mistake. I felt like you kind of sucked me into something. I just don't believe that this something I should have done. Then we'll literally write it back. Because it's not about the money issue. It's about finally settling in your life what is going to be first. So my response, April through December 2015, I will honor God first in my finances from each paycheck. I'll return it to the Lord through my home church, 12 Stone, either online or offering. And so you just check, I'll begin to tithe or I return to tithe. And then you can place this in the offering basket, which is about to be received. And it's a huge decision. You say, well, what are you going to do with this card? This card goes to me. This is just my private little covenant with you. You complete this, set this before the Lord, place it in the offering basket. It goes in my prayer room, and I pray with you over these next many weeks and throughout 2015. And I know this is just really a major spiritual breakthrough for you. So as you prepare accordingly, and as you do across the campuses, and I know ushers are getting ready, I want to pray for us. So Robert was kind of leading into a prayer. Let me execute that prayer. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, we just know that we get caught up and we live in this very material world. And frankly, God, on this earth, and you know this, money becomes kind of the driving force in our life. And we see the world from a material standpoint. And what you've been teaching us today through Robert's words once again arrests our attention. You are preeminent, creator of all, above all, over all, in all and through all. You have no equal. Now, we say these things with our lips, and then there are moments like this when we're arrested that it's not always true in the way we live and in our heart. And you know, it's no small thing that we would humbly surrender that you are first. And that would permeate every area right into the tithe. So it's a big deal, God, that many are settling right now before you. You're first, God. And this feels courageous. The number of people to just take this step. And others who wonder, how did I ever drift? How does that even happen? God, forgive me and correct drift. And others are still not even sure, wrestling this down. Because God, I don't want to be about mere religion. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. And still others, God's quite spiritually unresolved on these matters. And so you be gracious and patient and kind to help us navigate what is often so hard to see while we're on earth. And God, for all who would say yes to you, would you redeem our finances, remove us, if you will, out from under the curse, and would you give us great freedom in you, which is your very heart as our Father and the giver of every good gift. So even in this offering, we return to you what is yours. And in that, we say, God, we love you. You are first and grateful for how you love us. And such things we pray in the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed, saying, amen.